All right, so we've been following the situation with the carbon dioxide pipelines extensively since the beginning of the whole proposal. And again, I'll refresh your memory. When these were originally proposed for the upper Midwest, there were three big corporations that wanted to build them: Wolf, Navigator, and Summit. And when you started looking at who was behind some of these, BlackRock, Valero, I can't remember who else, but there was all these huge, rich companies that wanted to build these things. And they wanted to build them because of the 45Q tax credits in the Inflation Reduction Act that made this a lucrative taxpayer handout to big companies that could have the political clout to pull it off. And so Wolf was the first to fold, and then Navigator, and Summit is on the ropes. Now, I'd say the main reason is South Dakota. Again, I've talked about this. There were 14 Republican lawmakers in South Dakota who weren't on the side of the landowners, and they were ousted in primary opponents by Republicans that wanted to see restrictions placed on what could be used, what could be done with eminent domain. And as a result, we saw just a couple months ago, the South Dakota legislature passed very clear, very strong legislation on eminent domain, and it was signed by the governor. That said, all the momentum we've seen on this issue is not traceable even just to that. That's maybe the biggest thing to happen, but all the things that have led to building up. I mean, people speaking out, writing to their utility commission, putting up a sign in front of their home on their highway saying they don't want this, speaking at some of the public comment meetings, hiring attorneys to provide legal defense both before the Iowa Utilities Commission and before the equivalent public utility authorities in other states. Again, there's five states affected by this: Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota, and previously Illinois would have been on that list as well. But big things are happening here in Iowa now. And I've been shocked for over 3 years now that the Democratic Party has basically remained quiet on this. I mean, yeah, there have been a little bit of noise from a couple people, but overall the party has been pretty much quiet. Best summarized by the House Minority Leader's statement on Iowa Press a couple years ago when she was asked about the carbon dioxide pipeline. She said, "I could see both sides," which is, that kind of encapsulates to me why the Democratic Party is kind of not highly regarded by a lot of people in rural America or a lot of people in working class towns, union towns. To have the intestinal fortitude to say, "I see both sides." It's something this important. And in this case, where you've got, 80% of the public in Iowa is against using eminent domain to build these pipelines. Anyway, so I've always been shocked that Democrats just, didn't seem to figure out that maybe that was a good thing to take a stand on. And the reason Democrats might have made some progress on that is because the Republican Party has been pretty divided on it. Again, as I said before, the biggest donor to the Republican Party in Iowa is Bruce Rastetter, who owns Summit, the company that wants to build the pipeline, the one remaining pipeline, now that Navigator and Wolf are gone. And of course, he's got the support of Kim Reynolds, governor, but now a lame duck governor because she's decided not to run again. She'll be done with her final term in one more year to go, just under a year to go. But so, hang on. Ed, do the math. A little over a year to go. There we go. So, and you've also got, leadership, especially in the Senate, that is tight with the big money elements of the Republican Party and tight with the governor. And then you've got a key lawmaker in the Iowa Senate, Mike Busolo, who was a key staff person for Summit before he became a state senator. So the Republican Party, on the other hand, on the other side, of course, you've got Republicans that really do want to represent their constituents, and they know that what happened to Republicans in South Dakota, the 14 who got beat because they were on the wrong side of this issue, they see that writing on the wall and they don't want to be similarly ousted. And in all fairness, some of them genuinely are deeply concerned about eminent domain and property rights. So now we've got the situation where the Iowa session is coming to an end. Actually, it's officially over by now, because the legislators are, by the way, don't let anybody tell you, it's a pretty darn good position to be in terms of income and benefits. You get a salary, and I can't remember what it is now. I think it's, what, $40,000 maybe? You get an expensive office, meaning you get some money every month to outreach to your constituents, with no accountability in terms of what you do with that. You could fly to Cancun, and that would be considered an appropriate use of that money. I tried to change that when I was up there. Nope. You also get an expense, per diem. Every day you're in session, you get some money. And that's projected to end on May 2nd. So in other words, it's ended. Officially, once that day comes, lawmakers want to go home. And again, in many cases, we have a lot of farmers in Iowa. They want to get out and start planning. But they also know that now there's no point in staying up there. They're not getting any more money for working beyond May 2nd. So there's an eagerness to wrap up the session. And I want to say, my hat is off to the 12 Senate Republicans who said, you know, not so fast. You know, the biggest thing the legislature ever has to do, Democrat or Republican, is pass a budget. They haven't done that yet. You know, it often happens toward the end of session, but oftentimes it's done before now. But this year it hasn't been done. The House and Senate, even though they're both Republican, haven't been able to agree. They certainly haven't been able to agree on eminent domain, because the House has passed, you know, pretty good legislation. And actually, this year's bill out of the House, best ever. The Senate finally felt it should take the bill up. But guess who they put in charge of managing that bill? Mike Busolo, the guy who worked for Summit. I mean, I cannot understand why there wasn't some kind of ethics complaint filed, some conflict of interest, you know, pointed out. I mean, if there's a stronger conflict of interest than you having worked for a company that you're now trying to decide whether that company should have the power of eminent domain, that's a no-brainer. You know, the legislators who really, really genuinely want to see something done to protect landowners, and some of them are concerned about re-election, but some of them really in their hearts mean this. And these are some lawmakers that I might disagree with on a whole lot of things, but some of them have called into this program. Some of them have responded to emails from me before. And I know that they are sincere about this. And this takes some guts. 12 of them sent a letter to, I believe, the president of the Senate saying, hey, we're not going to vote for the budget bill until we get action on the legislation passed by the House, the strong eminent domain legislation passed by the House. We will not take action on the budget bill until that comes over. That took some guts. And you know, with 12 Republicans saying we're unwilling to vote for a budget bill, and with 16 Democrats joining them, well, it's going to happen. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, well, I shouldn't say Democrats will never cease to disappoint, right? But if the Democrats unite with these 12 Republicans and support that eminent domain legislation from the House and agree that they're not going to vote on a budget bill until that happens, then, you know, they've got a lot of power. They've got a lot of ability to impact what happens. So, you know, I get it from both sides. I get criticized by some Democrats for being too hard on the party. I get criticized from Republicans. Gary, I know you're listening. For anything I say that is critical of any Republican. So, Gary, you're going to like this one, because I'm going to read the names of the 12 Republican senators who have signed the letter to the governor. I'm sorry, the governor, to the president of the Senate. Kevin Allons from Northwest Iowa. Doug Campbell from Mason City in North Central Iowa. Rocky DeWitt from Lawton, also up near Sioux City. Lynn Evans from Orillia, Cherokee County. Dennis Guth from Clemmy, also North Central Iowa. Mark Lofgren from Muscatine, that's out on the river, east in the Mississippi River in eastern Iowa. Mike Pike from Des Moines, he's the Republican who beat Nate Bolton last year. Dave Rowley from Spirit Lake. Sandy Salmon from Janesville. David Cyrus from Cedar Falls. Jeff Taylor from Sioux Center. And Sherilyn Westrick from Ottumwa. So, you know, half of the lawmakers signing that are from Northwest Iowa, North Central Iowa, which is a big part of where these this pipeline would go through. And again, we're looking at what? Almost 800 miles of Iowa farmland would be impacted, be impacted by these pipelines. It's significant. So, my cap is off, literally, as Kathy is sitting in the studio. My cap is literally off. Back on again, as I am, you know, I commend the Republican lawmakers who have the guts to stand up and say, yeah, this shall not pass unless we have a discussion that's important to the vast majority of Iowans, rural or urban. Again, most of Iowa's population anymore, I don't know now. I'd have to say, depending on what you mean by urban, but I would count Des Moines, Cedar Rapids, Sioux City, the Quad Cities, Iowa City, Dubuque, Council Bluffs. I would count all those as urban centers, and many of them with suburbs. I mean, Des Moines has, what, 16, 17 suburbs, depending how you count them? You know, I would think that a majority of Iowa now, or at least about even half of it, is at least urban. And so when you've got 80% of the population saying, no, we don't like the idea of eminent domain to build pipelines, it's not a rural concern anymore. It's an Iowa concern. People across the state don't like to see the public authority of eminent domain given to a private corporation. And I can only wish that the legislature had had more investment in this conversation back during the fight over the Dakota Access Pipeline. But again, you know, it takes time to build a movement. And one thing that the carbon dioxide pipeline people had going for them is, I remember talking about this years ago when it first came up. You know, they're going to build this series of pipelines that move ethanol they move carbon dioxide from ethanol plants and other locations that produce carbon dioxide to a storage area in North Dakota, supposedly, but. You know, the whole thing is premised on corn production. And with corn production, corn farmers always needed to make sure they find a market, especially now with what Trump's doing with tariffs, you know. The ethanol component of corn production is really, really important. So, you know, I'm thinking, well, corn farmers are going to say, well, you know, we don't really like the idea of this pipeline coming through our land, but we want to do this because we're buying the argument that this is going to be good for corn production. And personally, I don't believe it. I think we could have a good conversation about why that's a false argument, but I could see how it might play. And so I was thinking that it would be a harder fight to stop a carbon dioxide pipeline than it was to stop an oil pipeline, because nobody's tapping into that oil. That oil is going straight through Iowa. It's not taking any resource from Iowa like the carbon dioxide pipelines would do. They would take that corn resource, you know, move that somewhere. But, you know, I was wrong on that. I think a lot of people didn't see it coming. I don't think the carbon dioxide pipeline proponents saw it coming. And so as a result, we're seeing this huge pushback. And I think some of that is based on what we've seen in the aftermath of the Dakota Access Pipeline. Because farmers who have that thing running across their land, they can see that their productivity along that pipeline route is less than it is elsewhere on their farms. So, you know, we'll see where this goes. But again, we're going to have a debate in Iowa about this, apparently, because nothing can happen until the budget passes, and the budget ain't going to pass until eminent domain has had its day in the Senate.